Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord that you're able to join me today. We're going to continue right on in a message I began earlier this week entitled, Your Possibilities in Christ. We have not plumbed the depths of the resources, the exceeding great and precious promises that are given to us in Christ Jesus. We haven't fully understood what is available to us. No matter, sometimes you may have walked with the Lord for decades, but I would be willing to declare that you or I are still not living to our full potential, to be that faith-filled, fruit-bearing Christian that God desires in each one of our lives. Each one of us have a destiny. And beloved, as each of us realize that destiny, we will see the body of Christ begin to be strong and to begin to function as it desires. There's only one head. There's no big me and little you, beloved. We are all members of the body. And God wants us to flow together. And that's why it's so important. That's why I spend time in this broadcast to encourage you in your walk with the Lord, because when you start walking in victory and in joy and in anticipation and excitement of what God is doing in your life, then beloved, that joy, that peace is going to multiply not only in your life, but it'll flow over and bubble over into the lives of all those whom you touch. You will be a source of encouragement to others. That's God's plan for us. There's no darkness in the way of the Lord. There's no discouragement. Oh, we may go through seasons of testing and trial, but Paul called it a seeming light affliction compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Beloved, we are living in exciting and wonderful times. I am so stirred in my spirit the last few days. I'm so excited for what God is doing in the lives of UCM partners, in this ministry, in the body of Christ, in this nation. Beloved, if we will hold our ground, if we will pray, continue to pray and fast as never before, we're going to see God move in this nation. And I believe the recent events that we have seen transpire have brought encouragement to the leaders of the body of Christ, to individual members that we have seen, because as we've gotten serious, God, we see the hand of God move. And is that not exciting? Praise God. One writer wrote about the Word and about Jesus, and I'm just going to quote what he said. Jesus' presence is not only a spiritual presence, but it's a concrete reality in His Word. The Bible is more than a recital of maxims or a manual of instruction or a selection of moral exhortations. It is a history of redemption. It is an appeal to salvation. It is our invitation of the Savior to come to Him. The Bible is useless and incomprehensible as long as we take it for a series of detached verses, for a catechism, for a volume of sermons, or for a book about conduct. It is more than all of that. It is the clothing, the vestments of Christ Himself, transparent enough to permit Him who is the light of the world to shine through. It is a standard and rule of life only because, first of all, it is the very source of life. However one approaches the Bible, it is useless except as it leads to Him, Jesus Christ. Praise God. Beloved, there's another step I'd like to encourage you to take in achieving God's full possibilities and potential in your life, and that is how we pray. We need to pray the Word of God. We need to turn God's promises into prayer. Have you ever done that? When you are praying with God's Word and turn that promise into prayer, beloved, when you go to God in prayer and take His promises with you, there is an effectiveness in that kind of prayer. You're not praying your desires, your will, although, of course, our will aligns up with His, but we are praying what He said back to Him. It's the highest form of prayer, beloved. Well, perhaps praying in the Spirit, because then that's the Holy Spirit praying, and nothing could be expressed as beautifully as the Holy Spirit when He prays before the throne of grace through us. David wanted to build God a house. Do you remember that? But God told David, I am going to build you a house. So what did David do? He turned God's promise into a prayer. Let's read 1 Chronicles 17:23 to 27. Starting at 23, therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou hast said. Let it even be established, that thy name may be magnified forever, saying, the Lord of hosts is the God of Israel, even a God to Israel. And let the house of David, thy servant, be established before thee. For thou, O my God, has told thy servant that thou wilt build him an house. Therefore thy servant hath found in his heart to pray before thee. And now, Lord, thou art God, and hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Now therefore, let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee forever. For thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever. David was not praying in the wrong attitude, but he was turning God's promise into a prayer. We too can turn God's promises into prayer. It is an open confession that God has promised thus and so in behalf of His children. And there are two things here that I feel are important to share with you. First of all is, as we pray, turning God's promises into prayer, we're acknowledging that God said what He said, and you've made the confession through your words in prayer that you've notified the enemy that what you're asking is not just your feeble plea, but God said so. Secondly, when you pray the promises of God, that is in the framework of what God's Word declares, then you are agreeing with God and what He says about your needs. And so you can go to God with His promises and stand firm in your petitions on the basis of God's faithfulness to answer your prayers. Remember, God's promises are not empty, vain statements that have no substance. He has given us His word, a promissory note, if you please, that when we come to Him in faith, He will acknowledge His own word. Therefore, we rest in Him. We can rest in that. We stand fully assured that He won't forget His promise. Now, time sometimes is an issue. We may get an immediate answer. There's times we may wait for it, and that builds our faith. It builds our patience. But the fact that you don't get an immediate answer doesn't mean your faith was defective or that God hasn't heard, but that He has just the right time to bring it to pass. I'll never forget years and years ago, we had just moved from our first location at 41st and Telegraph, and we were in another location that was less than satisfactory, and we prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for God to open another door, and it just nothing happened. And the reason being, where He actually took us to Hayward, that actual location was being prepared for us. We didn't know that, but the place God had was in process. He was working on it. And you know, sometimes the enemy fights. Remember Daniel, the first time he prayed, the angel told him, Michael said, we fasted for 3 weeks. He said, God heard your prayer, but He was hindered in coming. So we may not fully understand why there's a delay, but that doesn't mean our heart has to be discouraged or our faith shipwrecked. We know if we're praying scripturally, God will do it no matter how long it takes. Now, another step we can take to obtain those good things that God has for you and me is to turn from those who do damage to the Word of God with their unbelief. You can talk to some nominal Christians and they'll do everything they can to tell you why God doesn't answer this prayer or do this or that. They can spend hours simply spouting their words of unbelief. And the writers of Hebrews said plainly, many didn't enter in because of their unbelief. How many multitudes of Christians walk in defeat because of unbelief? Only God knows. However, to the child of God who will cast off the works of darkness. Remember, that's one of the arrows the enemy wants to use, is doubt and unbelief. You can take God's word as your very own promissory note, as it were, and praise God, thank Him for the victory. If you do that, you won't be defeated. You can rejoice and praise God that no matter how the enemy fights, you know, you might be down sometimes, but you're never going to be down and out. Micah said, "Rejoice not against me, mine enemy. When I sit, arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me." Praise God. There may be battles, but you won't be defeated. There may be disappointments and trials, and surely there will be, but you'll be able to stand your ground through Jesus. Our every word, every thought, and every prayer we utter ought to reflect the triumph of the risen Lord Jesus Christ. When we've come to the Lord in complete humility and have asked and received His precious forgiveness for sin in our lives, we have the right, well, more than the right, we've actually have a responsibility and duty to ask Him in the light and discernment of His word to make our lives victorious, because He wants us to be a testimony. God moved in our life just not to save us, but that we can bear fruit for Him. And the only way we can receive God's best is to believe He wants us to have His best. Believe we can have it, and then ask Him in faith for His best, and expect to receive it. Beloved, your life can have true dignity and meaning, real beauty and purpose. You can be strong in the strength of the Lord and walk in holiness when and only when you have experienced Jesus in your life in a real measure, true measure, day by day. He is resurrection life. His way is not an obscure, foggy path. We can rest in His arms only if we're willing to sit in His lap. We can feel His sweet caress only as we stand in His presence so He can touch our lives. Praise God. As the rose begins to blossom, each petal unfolds until the full bloom is seen, and our lives can be like that rose in full blossom. It takes a petal at a time to rind out the full symmetry of a rose. So, beloved, it takes the whole word for the whole man to make our lives complete. Praise God. Well, I must bring this broadcast to a close, and this week's work of broadcasting will continue next time we come together. Thank you for joining me. And remember, if you have prayer needs, don't forget to write. Until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606. Or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh,